The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. We continue analyzing the moves that the Packers made yesterday on cut down day. And there's an interesting phenomenon that Joshy, you said you saw on social. That after A.J. Dillon was put on season-ending IR, which we discussed in the first segment of the show, the only member of the 2020 Packers draft class left on the roster, 2020, four seasons ago. Remember, the average length of an NFL player's career, I believe, is three seasons. So we're talking four seasons ago. The only player left from that draft class on the Packers roster is the quarterback, Jordan Love. You could clearly make the argument that at least they nailed the most important one, right? But the other guys, and I'm just reading from this list that Joshy compiled, Dylan DeGuara, Kamal Martin, John Runyon, Jake Hansen, who is this, Simon? I don't even know who this guy is.
Stefaniak?
Yeah, I didn't even know who that was. Vernon Scott and Jonathan Garvin are all off the team. Is it a good draft? If you get one right, even if that one, Gabe, is the quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, you nailed the most important position. That's a good draft class. You got yourself... That's all that matters, man. You nailed that one pick. You nailed that one pick of a franchise quarterback. Doesn't matter what the rest of the draft class is.
What do you give it for a grade?
It's an A.
No, it's not. You're insane. Give me Aaron Rodgers' draft class.
Okay.
Because that'll be...
All right, you ready?
We don't know if we nailed it yet. What's nailing it? Hall of Fame?
He's your guy. I mean, if he ends up being a franchise quarterback, which he already is, like you've nailed that draft.
Do you have Aaron Rodgers' draft class? All right, let me hear it.
Aaron Rodgers, Nick Collins, Terrence Murphy, Marvell Underwood, Brady Papinga, Junius Kostin, Michael Hawkins, Mike Montgomery, Craig Bragg, Kurt Campbell, and Will Whitaker.
So that's an A+. So you can't give Jordan Love's draft class an A.
Gabe is saying weighted. It's weighted because the quarterback position is so important, and as you mentioned, you have to nail it. If you're going to move up in the draft, when you already have a future Hall of Famer on the roster, you got to nail it, right? Okay. And it looks like, again, it's early, small sample size. It looks like they nailed it. So I'm willing to also give it an A, even if all of the other guys... It is, though, concerning, because Chewy, some of this is fluky, right?
Like, I know, some of these guys... Why are we anointing him? He's had nine great games, or nine very good games. We can't anoint him. Do I think he's going to be good?
Then we can't grade the draft class. If we don't know what Jordan Love is, then you can't trade the draft class.
I think right now you give it a B-, C+.
You can't give
Aaron Rodgers in a draft class an A because he's going to be in the Hall of Fame and he has an argument to be one of the top three, top five quarterbacks to ever play the game?
Sure, and I could also make the argument, Shu, that the Nick Collins on there, the Brady Papinga on there, even Underwood, who was a contributor, those sort of even crank it up a little bit more.
Sure.
So that draft class, even though you could argue that there were only a few contributors outside of the future Hall of Fame quarterback, I don't think anybody's arguing with you that it's an A. Whether it's an A+ or an A-, I suppose, is debatable, depending on what you think the hit rate needs to be for a general manager on any given draft year. But this was alarming. This is only 4 years ago, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Theoretically, some of these guys should have stuck. John Runyon, you know, obviously.
Runyon could have. I mean, he's still in the league. He's going to be starter.
He's somewhere else. That's right.
Yeah. So he's still a good player. But yeah, if you want to go that deep, I mean, the 2021 draft class, which would feature guys in the final years of their deal, it's not exactly much better.
But Gabe, what if Aaron, what's his name? No, Jordan Love.
Okay.
What if Jordan Love makes three Pro Bowls? Then what's the grade of the draft class?
makes three Pro Bowls.
The more success he has, the more it goes up.
Yeah. But I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be, if he ends up being your starting quarterback for the next decade, then the lowest it can be is a B.
Okay. I'll go with you there. Okay. And I'm with you. I'm with you. You can't really grade it yet, then.
Gabe, I appreciate you bringing up the 2021 draft class because those guys, theoretically, again, should still be on the roster. So go ahead and go through that one. There are some misses, but you could argue that, look, with what the Packers did with the defensive backs yesterday, even on cutdown day, it makes me feel like they're real confident in Eric Stokes being back out there on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be starting. So Eric Stokes is in that draft class. Josh Myers is in that draft class.
Still on the team.
Amari Rodgers.
Not on the team. Not in
is
the
he
league.
In football? He's out already?
Is he in football? He played the UFL. That's technically in football, right?
Can you give Rodgers credit?
Aaron Rodgers? Was Aaron Rodgers right about Amari Rodgers? Yes, Aaron Rodgers was right about Amari Rodgers.
Definitively.
I think that debate's over. Royce Newman was the fourth round pick.
Just got cut.
Yeah.
TJ Slayton.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's on the roster.
Yeah.
Shamar John Charles.
Have a great name.
Cole Van Lannen. Isaiah McDuffie. And then Kylan Hill. No longer in the league.
That draft class to me feels, again, depending on what type of production Eric Stokes has this year, that draft class to me feels like a B minus.
Who was 1 and 2? Who was 1 and 2?
Stokes and Myers.
Stokes and Myers.
Still on the roster.
They're not bringing Myers back.
Myers, just in case we haven't noticed, Creed Humphrey signed the largest center contract in the history of the NFL. You want to know who was taking one pick ahead of him? Josh Myers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
God, I'd love to be a student in your guys' class. I really would. That 10% would be like 30.
Why?
You guys are easy graders. Huh?
Wait, what would you have given the 2021 draft class?
With Stokes and Myers?
Yeah. And McDuffie. Don't forget McDuffie.
C plus, B minus?
I feel like there is...
I just said B minus!
I feel like...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Because I feel, okay. I mean, I lean more towards C plus. I mean, this is a huge make or break year for that draft class.
Okay.
Because I think there's a real chance that none of them are on the roster next year.
Really?
Well, they're all in the final years of their deal.
I like Stokes, though. I like him.
What is there to like?
Is he great? No.
I don't even know if he's good.
Pretty good as a rookie.
I think he's good.
Bad as a second year guy.
Not on the field as a third.
I think
that's what I'm saying. There's not a lot to like.
I gotta be honest too. This is feeling like a Borscht endorsement right now.
I just bought some yesterday. So you know what lunch is today?
I like him. I don't love him.
You know what lunch is today?
They don't love it. They like it. They don't love it.
Pierogies and dill pickle soup. I am so excited.
Oh, you brought pierogies. I thought you bought borscht. I didn't know anyone was selling
borscht. I did, but that's in the freezer.
Where
I'm going to save
that for... Where do you
purchase
borscht?
There's a Polish deli around here.
Wow.
Yeah. Want me to bring some back?
I'm good.
Yeah, you can keep it.
Although it melted because it's so hot down here, and my buddy's truck who drove me over there, it looks like there was...
Okay. All right. All right. We can stop.
So, given this development, which was noted on social media yesterday about the 2020 draft and how Jordan Love, the franchise quarterback, who is currently the highest paid quarterback in the league, is the only remaining player from that draft, was that a good draft? Gabe is saying yes, emphatically. There's no question it was a good draft because you got the most important position. Chewy is saying no, you missed on every other one. And to him, that's more important. There's sort of a quantity-quality argument sort of happening here between you guys. And Gabe, I love that you brought up the following year's draft because you are seeing a fallout. This, to me, is always the philosophical question, Chew, of what do you need your hit rate to be for a general manager to consider a draft a good draft? It sounds like it's folded into the cake, it's baked into the cake, that you're going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're allowed some strikeouts here when it comes to drafting. But how many are you allowed? And does it matter, one, higher rounds? I think it should. And two, more important positions? I think it should. I think those things should be weighted more heavily than the opposite. What do you think, Gabe?
Yeah, you hit the quarterback spot, you're hitting your higher-end picks, it makes everything else a little bit easier. And that's why, again, you look at the 2021 draft class, the four guys that are around, Stokes, Myers, Slayton, and McDuffie, two are starters, McDuffie and Slayton probably rotational players at this point. I mean, it doesn't feel like it is as impactful as a franchise quarterback.
And this is going to sound crazy, Chu, but are we putting too much emphasis on the draft? Hold on. Hear me out. I know the Packers have always been a draft and develop team, right? They do not very often, you know, dalliance in free agency, although they did this past offseason. Are we putting too much emphasis on you have to nail all of your picks because that is the way that you are building your roster when we believe the Packers this year are going to be one of the top teams in the NFC?
I think it changes from round to round. Obviously, you should hit first round picks. You should hit 60%. Is that too low?
I still think it feels like a 50-50 proposition still.
It shouldn't be, though.
But it,
I don't think it should be. If a GM's worth his salt, you know, the one thing that CYA would run.
I was about to say, Ron's right? Below 50%.
I know.
Below 50% on first
but
round.
But he
picks.
Nailed third round. He nailed fourth round. He nailed fifth round. He nailed sixth round. That's how you make a championship team. If you hit every one of your ones and twos, great. There's not enough guys to field the whole team. So if all you're hitting is one and two, you'll be good. You're not going to be great.
The only positions above 50% hit rate in the NFL, and that means signing another contract, are guard, offensive tackle, center. Wide receivers, 27%. Tight end, 33%. Safety, 34%. Running back, 38%. Cornerback, 38%. Defensive tackle, 40%. And then upwards to 48% is the highest at linebacker.
So what do you think that is, Joshy? Why do you think it is so easy, quote unquote, to nail offensive line? Is there something about the skill set where you can watch a guy in college? Is it because the game is so similar? Like the transition from one league to the next is smaller than at some of the other positions? Like, why do you think teams historically have had the most success at those spots?
I think offensive line is largely body type dependent and really based on athleticism. If you have the feet, you can do the job.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
it comes to a lot of these other, like a lot of these other positions are often intangibles, and we were talking about intangibles with AJ Dillon. Like quarterbacks have to be otherworldly. They can have everything you ever wanted that they show like physically, but they just can't figure the game out. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this stuff that isn't like not to degrade offensive linemen, but it's are you big and can you move your feet? And that's pretty much.
You know what another weird thing is? Another weird thing is that they look at is arm length, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about arm length, and I used to, you know, everyone asked me, like, who's the toughest defender you had to block? And then I say, Tony Tolbert. And they're like, who? I'm like, Tony Tolbert of the Dallas Cowboys. You know why he's so hard to block? Because he had longer arms than I did. So if you got good placement, and it's the same with offensive linemen, if you got good placement with your hands and your arms are longer than the guy you're going against, it's like a turtle. The guy defending just can't get leverage because his arms aren't long enough. So that's another thing. And they also look at toughness and work ethic. Like Yash?
Yash.
Yash is out of here because he didn't like the work. You know, and you see so many of those. If you go get a road grader in his – I would take – a guy, an offensive lineman with okay feet that bust his ass over a blue chip who has great feet and you don't know if he wants to work.
But take that's that an guy all day science, long. Right? The only way that you it can is. Figure that out is basically by yeah. talking to their previous coaches and seeing day in sure. and day out whether they love the grind or not.
Yeah.
You know?
I want Adam Timberman. I want Marco Rivera. I want Mike Wall. I want those type of guys. Not great feet, but you know what? They're going to punch you right in the mouth.
Well, and the grind in the NFL is different than the grind in college, too.
Yeah.
You know, so that transition. So maybe the guy can handle the grind in college, gets to the NFL, can't handle it.
Also, the reason they ask those insane questions, and some of them are inappropriate, like asking Des Bryant if his mother is a prostitute, that's a little far, but they ask those crazy things because they're trying to get into the depths of someone's mind and their character. They're trying to, like, find out something that you can't really, because, I mean, we all rehearse answers. We go to interviews, and we all basically lie through our teeth and present the best version of ourselves. That's what those guys
are
doing.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking other interviews?
No. I didn't even really interview here, to be honest.
Neither did I.
Just out of curiosity, is it working out for you, or again, maybe it's like the draft. It fluctuates from year to year. day to day. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience, a dozen self-service betting kiosks, seating for over 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and, of course, their new restaurant, The Kitchen. And, by the way, big announcement coming about ESPN Milwaukee and Potawatomi Casino Hotel. It's a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi. Make sure that you get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
Have you guys been to Aria yet, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel? It is and should be your next dinner destination. Nestled on the second floor of St. Kate, it is an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. Every bite, guys, is a culinary work of art. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com. Excited to talk to Sophia Minnert about those Brewers in just a few moments. But before we get to that, guys, so what is your obligation if you get a scratch-off ticket at a gas station that is a big winner? I'm talking big, big winner, not like pennies in the pocket, not like coins you'd find in the couch cushions fortune. $500,000 in the case of a man who used a $10 scratch-off that he told the clerk to pick out. So follow me here. He walks in, he hands the guy $10, he says, you pick. So the clerk. Clerk picks a ticket, guy scratches it off, $500,000 winner. Does he owe that clerk anything? Does he owe him a tip? Should he give him a percentage? Or is it every man for himself? Thanks for being a part of my story, but not thank you so much that I'm going to give you some money.
If you're telling him to pick it out, I think you float him. I don't know, float him a grand, right?
What if he didn't pick it out?
If he didn't pick it out, then it's every man for himself, right? Like, if you go and you pick the, you know, if you ask someone to pick your Powerball numbers for you, probably owe them a little bit of tip. If you just go, hey, I'm taking a Powerball ticket, machine random, and he just hands it to you, you pay your $2 and you move on, you win, nothing. But
oh,
I think
really?
Because the acts...
Well, yeah. Let's ask Joshy. Joshy, let me ask you this, because we talked about it earlier this week or last week. When you're going to have your second beer party, instead of bringing more beer, I said bring a scratch-off lottery ticket. So if Gabe brings you a lottery ticket and you win $500,000, what do you give Gabe?
I would probably give Gabe no less than $2,500.
It's a good little tip.
In that instance. And even, I'm surprised you, even if I do random and I do 10 tickets, I still probably go back and give that guy some money because I'm winning hundreds of millions of dollars in that case. That person's life has changed from 10 grand, and they were a part of the picture, even though the computer did it. That is important. It is random. But still, wouldn't you feel really good about impacting that person?
But, like, I just think, like, you got to think about when you walk into these gas stations, there is usually a checkerboard of options, right? And so this guy picked your winning ticket. He could have picked any other of the $10 tickets. Maybe there's only five or six $10 tickets. But he chose that thing. I feel like, good person, you got to kick him some coin. You got to. Like I don't want to carry that karma around, to be perfectly honest with you, for the rest of my days.
But if he walked in and said, hey, $10, give me the crossword puzzle.
Different. If he's requested the crossword puzzle, then he did the picking, right? And he chose the winning ticket. But once the clerk is responsible for making the choice, I think he's a part of the winnings, and you owe... I'm not saying pay him half, right? But I'm saying, just, again, I don't want to carry the karma from stiffing that guy around.
I'd duke him either way.
You're going to have to... You're going to have to, because when you...
Duking him, tipping him, or
fighting him.
Yeah.
No. I would tip him either way.
I got no dukes.
You never heard that term?
No.
No, not in that context.
Wait, yeah, duke means
basketball.
Take care of him. Yeah.
The duke. Isn't that the signature on the old footballs?
Yeah, that is.
I believe that's John Wayne.
John Wayne.
I think I tip regardless, and maybe it's like gambling karma, like you're insinuating, but even if I like am at the casino or playing poker where the dealer is paid to be there, like if I win a big hand, I'm tossing them a percentage, usually five.
If I'm playing blackjack and I go on a hot run before I cash out, you're throwing a couple chips towards the dealer.
I treat the clerk at the gas station, also because I know what it is like to work there. It's just like, that would be great. You know how happy all those people would be with a couple extra grand to take home? Like, and it's not going to matter to you. You just won $500K. What is $2,500 doing to you? I think you
It ticks my wife off when I tip someone a good amount.
Really?
It's tithing.
Oh, you know? Yeah, good. Again, the karma thing.
it's tithing. You know what tithing?
That's a religious
thing. For non-Catholics, you're supposed to give a percentage of your salary.
Tithing. Tidings of great
tidings to you.
So this is interesting conversation as I just returned from Ireland where there is no tipping. And yet there were places that would recognize you as an American, know that it is an American custom to tip, and then would insinuate that you are welcome to tip should you want to, but it's not mandatory. Well, now you've put it out there in the universe, so you know maybe we didn't tip 20%, but we would tip 10% on a bill like that. But it was wild going into places and not having the expectation / obligation of tipping. Like, the number that's there is the number you pay. That's kind of nice.
Isn't Ireland a little unique where they're not necessarily, because here, obviously, the salary number for service industry people is like $2 an hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe they're living, like, the wages they're paid there are even that considerably, like, great. It's like, I don't know if they compensate. It's just tipping culture doesn't really exist there in the same way.
Yes. They are making more money.
Yeah.
So So let's just go around the horn here. Chu, you would tip the clerk. What amount would you tip the clerk on a $500,000 lotto winner?
$5,000.
Whoa! That's very kind of you, Gabe.
Yeah, I was in the $2,500 with Joshy.
Yeah, I haven't figured out the number of taxes, but it's probably $2,500 to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is a chunk of change. I'm thinking $1,000. Now you guys are making me feel cheap.
Skate.
Yeah, exactly. But again,
we're not making you feel that way. It just might be a fact.
You just are feeling that way. You should really reflect on that, Jen, is what you guys are saying. The reason we bring this up is because to this point, the person that won the $500,000 has not kicked back anything to the clerk who allegedly picked out the winning ticket. So we all feel like that is wrong, though, right? We're all in agreement that at some point you should give them a portion of the winnings since they were instrumental in getting those winnings.
Yeah, throw a little back.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. I wonder if we are in the minority of thinking that, yes, you kind of, I don't want to say pay it forward, that's not what this is, but to me it's, I just want a huge chunk of change, mostly because of the ticket that someone else picked out. Karma, I don't think, is going to be kind to you if you stiff that person or if you ignore their role in your fortune. 800-990-3776. We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Are you obligated to tip the clerk a decent amount? See, decent is also so fluid. Very arbitrary. Decent amount? Are you obligated to tip the person who helped you get those winnings? 800-990-3776. Chris weighing in saying it would depend on if this guy was the owner or not. I believe the store gets a percentage of the winning.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm not familiar with this. So the owner gets a portion of your winnings, or the owner gets a portion that, like, the lotto has set aside?
The lotto has set aside.
Oh.
So, like, they get a big... there's a place in Fond du Lac. Is it Fond du Lac, Gabe? Where it's had a few, like, multi-million-dollar...
I think you're right.
...winners, and they get... I want to say the store is... Let's just say it was a $20 million the Powerball thing. The store gets, like, $100,000. Like, it's a crazy amount.
So, hold on. Are you more likely to go to that store because they have a track record of...
Yes, they do.
Or...
I'm never going back.
That's what I was thinking. Never. Lightning doesn't strike twice, right?
No. And if it did, it's not three times.
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like the more success you have with this, the less future success you're going to have. I think it actually starts to affect your sales. Like, oh, you've had several million-dollar winners at this store? The chances of that happening again have got to be even more minute than the chance of you hitting the first time.
Statistically, they would tell us that's bad process by us. That's like gambler brain.
But hold on.
Equally as insignificant every time anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's especially Powerball. It's just random numbers that a computer's spitting out.
Can I get a timeout?
No.
30
we're
or
all
full.
Fans, we're all fans of a team who has the potential to have three Hall of Fame quarterbacks, okay?
Oh, now
that doesn't happen. Now you expect it.
About 30 minutes ago, you said, why are we crowning him? And I quote.
And now he's in the Hall of Fame.
I spent a year arguing with people about how the prior two occurrences have no bearing on what happens after it. There is not some special football juju out there that prevents you from having 3, 4, 5 in a row. It's
then
unlikely.
Why doesn't it happen? It's never happened before. In the history of football, it's never happened before. Never!
That would indicate to me that there are people in place making good decisions from a organizational standpoint.
No, that's Jesus.
Let go and let God. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because Sophia Minner is standing by to talk about your brew crew. I know there's a lot of intrigue. What, Gabe? What?
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where Mentality comes in, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, you could be dealing with low testosterone, not even realize it. Kind of groggy, tired, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy that you had a year or two ago. Those could be signs of low testosterone. And you can, again, whether or not you want to admit it, your career's a competition. You need every edge you can get. And that's where Mentality comes in. If your testosterone levels are low, like mine were, you can reclaim that back with Mentality and their customized testosterone treatment plans. Go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality. LowTUSA.com.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter Up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always great to check in with Sophia Minert, especially as the brew crew continue to plug along towards the final month of the season. Lost last night, I saw. I think 5-4 was the final. But still in a very, very good position. Sophia, how are you doing today?
Doing great, yeah. Brewers just keep rolling along, and there's, I think, 31, 32 games left now. So, yeah, definitely getting into the final stretch here.
But who's counting? Jackson Churio with a big, big home run last night. And I feel like this is the Jackson Churio that the Brewers thought they were going to get, as opposed to kind of the challenges he faced earlier this season when they gave him the bag earlier this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, there was a lot on him after he signed that contract in December, and he struggled the first 2 months. There's no doubt about it. I think he got off to a good start, like, in April, and then the later part of April, and especially May, was just really challenging for him. You know, he was getting beat on fastballs. He was chasing. There were some defensive miscues, and these are all things that you would expect, like the unevenness or the up and down of a rookie season from a 20-year-old, right? And I think we all try to keep that in mind from day one of, like, of course, this kid is extremely talented. You don't get a contract like that if you're not, and the Brewers have a lot of faith in him, but he's 20 years old, and he's so young, obviously, but also just young in his professional baseball career. So June, he's been a different player since June. The last 3 months have just been unbelievable production from him. The All-Star break, the way he's played after that, the defense has been better, the at-bats have been better, power, stolen bases, just he's putting it all together, and I think you're seeing all the tools of why the Brewers believe in him so much.
Sophia, with the Central pretty much in hand, how much do the players eyeball the rest of the National League? Because now you have Atlanta in play, you have Arizona in play, and you have San Diego in play along with the Phillies and Dodgers. How much are they eyeballing that?
Yeah, this is a fun time of year, right? Because you're obviously trying to take care of your own business, and we hear from Pat Murphy every day, right? Like, win tonight. And that's where their focus is. They put themselves in a great position with that division lead. There's still a lot to play for, however. I mean, obviously nothing is secured yet. And I think they feel they have a really legitimate chance to catch either the Dodgers or the Phillies, get one of the top two spots in the National League postseason picture. And then if you do that, you get a bye in the first round and you can get out of that wild card round, which is what the Brewers got into last year with the Diamondbacks. So, you know, as it stands today, they would be the 3 seed, meaning they would play the 6th, that last team in the wild card picture. And that's where those other teams are grouped up that you're talking about. It's the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Braves, the Mets are very much in that race as well. You know, the Cubs are kind of still hanging in there. I think they're still five and a half games out of that spot. So who knows what could happen there. But it's a very tight kind of race for those 3 wild card spots. So I think for the Brewers, it's like their goal is obviously win the division. But also, like, if you can get one of those top 2 spots, that sets you up really well because then you get almost an all-star break. You get 4 or 5 days off before you begin the division series.
Sophia, Christian Yelich back with the team, spoke for the first time to the media after getting his back surgery. What was your biggest takeaway from the messages he was delivering?
I think what we got from him was just like how optimistic he is about what this means for him moving forward. Look, he's obviously really disappointed that he was having such a great year, right? Going back to the All-Star game for the 3rd time. He's worked really hard to get back to that part of like being the player that he feels like he's capable of. So obviously disappointed that his season is over, but I think just the timing of it, of if this felt inevitable to him, which when we talked to him, if that's what the point it got to, like he really felt like my daily life is being compromised, right? Forget just trying to get on the baseball field and try to be a productive player. So I think this just gives him more time, right? It gives him more runway to go through the rehab, and he's really confident with how he can go through that process. Should be about 3 months for him. That gives him an extended off season. There's maybe not as much of like a rush or urgency for spring training and opening day next year. And he feels like he still has a lot of really good baseball ahead of him. And I think, you know, this is something he's had to manage, obviously, for the last couple of seasons. And that's a lot on you physically and mentally and emotionally to have to manage that every day and what people expect of you every day. So he's very optimistic. I think he's already looking forward to next year and feels like this is something that's going to help him in the long run.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here talking about your first place Brew Crew. Are we not giving enough credit to not just the bullpen, which I know a lot of people have talked about how much it has helped the Brewers in their run to success this season, but also the defense of this team? Is that something that you feel like has gone under the radar as far as a big reason why they've had success?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, they talk about that of, you know, they look at it as a run prevention unit. So it's the pitching staff and it's the defense together. And those two, you know, work together all the time. You can look at somebody like Colin Ray. You can look at somebody like even going out and acquiring Aaron Civale or Frankie Montas at the trade deadline of, you know, on paper, they weren't having lights out seasons, but the Brewers felt like with our defense behind you and with our, you know, pitching group and our coaching staff, we can make you better. Of how you use your stuff, of putting the ball in play. We have an elite infield behind you. We feel like, you know, the outfield defense has been incredible too. I mean, Blake Perkins robbing his 4th home run last night. Like, you know, it did end up in a loss, so it didn't have the biggest impact. But still, I mean, the defense that they have is, I mean, across the board is really, really good. I think one of the best in the National League. We talk about the infield defense a lot, you know, of having 3 shortstops in your infield with, of course, Willy Adames, Joey Ortiz, a former shortstop, Bryce Ring, a former shortstop. So, yeah, I think those groups are very much responsible for kind of where they've gotten to. And yeah, this pitching staff, like, you know, if you're pitching to contact, you need the defense to make the plays behind you.
So, Sophia, we love doing power rankings on Tuesday during the NFL season, and we very rarely agree with the list. So I just want to read you the top eight from ESPN. So one is the Dodgers, okay. Two are the Yankees, three Phillies, four Baltimore, five Brewers, six Cleveland, seven San Diego, eight Arizona. Would you agree with that, where the Brewers are placed?
So it was Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies.
Phillies, Orioles, Brewers.
Orioles, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that feels probably fair. I mean, I think, you know,
they're better than the Orioles?
To me, I think honestly in the National League that the Dodgers and the Phillies are pretty interchangeable. Both of those teams, I mean, they have stacked lineups, really good pitching staff. I would actually say the Phillies probably have a better pitching staff than the Dodgers. The Dodgers have had just as many injuries as the Brewers, and their depth has been tested, where the Phillies, they just got Ranger Suarez back. They've got Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola and Christopher Dominguez. I mean, they've got a really good bullpen as well. I would say the Phillies might actually have the edge with their pitching staff. And then in the American League, I do think the Yankees and the Orioles are the two best teams in that league. Just saw the Guardians on the last homestand. They've been really good, but they're now kind of neck and neck with the Royals in their division. So I think Orioles and Yankees have kind of been beating up on each other in the AL East. But yeah, that probably feels fair, I think, of kind of how top-heavy that is. Yeah.
Well, and if you look at the Brewers' schedule in the last month of the season, they're going to play a number of these teams who are in the playoff picture, right? They got Arizona there. You mentioned the Orioles. They do not have the Orioles, no. But I'm looking at the standings. Yeah. They play the Phillies again. They play Arizona.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are out of it, so that's not a situation. But there are teams that are going to be trying to make hay late to either punch their ticket in the postseason or to change their own positioning in the postseason. So it's going to be a very exciting final month of the year.
No, absolutely. And I think, like, that Philly series is going to be a huge series, again, just because they got swept in Philly in June, ran into, like, their aces. And it was a really good series. They played well. They just ran into really good pitching. So they're going to have that's going to be a monster series coming up in the middle of September. That those three games with the Phillies, if they want to try to catch them, again, for one of those top two spots, intriguing, right? Like the Arizona matchup, because Arizona has been one of the best teams coming out of the All-Star break. It's been Dodgers, D-backs, and Padres. It feels like they're winning every night. And again, they're kind of jockeying for position at the top of the National League West, and also just kind of a schedule oddity that you'll play the Diamondbacks seven times essentially within 2 weeks. Like, we just haven't seen that team yet. And then they're going to finish at home against the Mets. And the Mets are one of those teams that is currently in the wild card picture, bumped up with the Braves, the Mets, Padres. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot to play for in terms of obviously securing the division and then just, you know, teams that are in it and meaningful series. And, yeah, so it's I feel like just like every year, this is going to obviously you feel like, all right, they're in a good spot, and somehow this will end up going down to the end, whether it's for seeding or matchups or anything, but that's what makes it fun.
Who are some names that we could potentially see come up with the roster expanding September 1st? Some familiar guys coming up from Triple
A? Yeah, so this has been a couple years now where the rosters go from 26 to 28. However, you can only add one pitcher and one position player instead of, you know, the old days, essentially bring up your entire 40-man roster, right? And then you get into really long bullpen games. But anyway, I think it's actually been a good rule. You get an extra, most go with another reliever and then an extra bench player. Here's the thing. It's like you've got Hobie Milner coming back off of the injured list soon. I think they feel pretty good about the health with their pitching staff right now. You've got some intriguing, like they brought Aaron Ashby up. He pitched really well Sunday, two innings, another lefty option. He looks healthy and strong. He looked really good. Elvis Peguero was optioned to AAA Nashville. He could be an option. And then, of course, Jacob Mizorowski, who is the top prospect in the organization. This is a player that people are really excited about. He started his season in AA. He's been in AAA for probably about a month now. And he is just lights out in AAA right now. So that's going to be an intriguing decision of what they do with Mizorowski. There's another top prospect, Craig Yoho, who's also pitching really, really well in AAA. And then position player-wise, you know, I think they're carrying three catchers right now. They've gotten away with this for a while. Tyler Black, kind of, who's been up and down, he could be another good option, a lefty off the bench, another rookie. So, yeah, there's that will be coming up September 1st. I think that's Sunday. They've got a doubleheader coming up Friday, so they'll get an extra player for that against the Reds. Yeah, there's gonna be some fun decisions coming up. And then even outside of the organization, if they claim anybody or anything comes up on waivers, those players have to be added to the 40-man roster by the end of August as well for them to be eligible for the postseason.
I had a Worlds Colliding moment in Ireland this past week. Stay with me, folks. Jim Phillips is the ACC commissioner. He has spent time, I believe, at Northwestern and certainly at Notre Dame. And we were talking about me being here in Milwaukee and having the show. And he said, you know, I was born in Northern Illinois. I'm a Winnetka guy, so I was always a Cubs fan. He said, but Pat Murphy is my guy. He was my guy at Notre Dame, and he said, so my allegiance has switched this year specifically to the Brewers because Pat Murphy now is the guy. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he's fantastic. The team has really taken to him. They've responded to his style of coaching. And he said, so he is amongst the Brewers fans, Sophia, who hope that the Brew Crew can go all the way this year. So a little college football space, ACC connecting with the Brewers over in Ireland, just the way you draw it up.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all because it feels like with Pat Murphy, it's not even like 6 degrees. It's like 2 degrees. It's like somehow Murph just knows everyone. So it's like not even remotely surprising to me, Jen, that like you're in Dublin and you're running around doing game day and Pat Murphy comes up. Like that is so on brand.
It was wild. Sophia, we appreciate you so much. Have a great day at the ballpark. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks. Have a great day.
If you missed any of Sophia's appearance, you can, of course, catch it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. You guys have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We've enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. PCI is a great team, partially because they believe in building relationships in the community, but also because they believe in doing exceptional work. We want to congratulate PCI for celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. And if you find yourself in a situation where you need a home remodeling project done, I cannot endorse them enough. Go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com. There you can see some of the jobs they have done. See what might work for you and your family. Again, professionalconstructioninc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
63. What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
In my line of work, transportation is incredibly important. Going to and from all of the places. And when I need a ride to the airport, whether it's Milwaukee or Chicago, I rely on Accutrans. They're a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Visit their website at AccutransGroup.com to get a quote or book a reservation today. I cannot stress enough, guys. You got homecoming coming up in just a few months. You're going to want to book your travel for your kiddos so you don't have to drive them all around town. Accutrans is the group that you can count on. It's AccutransGroup.com.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something.
Was that a belch?
Yeah, sure
was. Not my fault.
Correct.
Not my fault.
I got in Chachi's here immediately and said, that's on you. You should know better at this point.
He did not give me a mic's on. Chachi, am I right?
I 1,000% told you your mic was on.
Yeah, but
I even warned you Jen was going to be doing a live read.
Well, yeah, I remember that.
You shouldn't turn on his mic until Jen's done with the live read. That's on you. No.
Hold on. It's not technically a belch if you don't open your mouth.
also just, okay.
I heard it loud and clear.
Yeah, I never opened my mouth.
I had your back, buddy.
Until?
Had your back.
Until what?
The mouth.
Until you tried to change the definition of a verb.
It's very fair. One check of the polls. People disagree on this wholeheartedly. Oh, what would you grade the Green Bay Packers 2020 draft with only Jordan Love remaining on the roster? 31% of people saying a B, 31% of people saying a C, 20% of people giving it the A that Gabe gave it for having the franchise quarterback in it, and 16% of people giving it a D.
Ooh, wow.
What an interesting conversation to continue. Perhaps they will touch on it on Wildy and Tausch right after this.